Discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Bangkok, August 2017. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Sarah, John, Suchin, Eve, Trin, Azita, Sundra, Alan, Vincent, Nina, Maggie, Yuan, Nana, and Daniel.
A friend asked me on our discussion list about references where it says that there were more Aryans who were lay people than bhikkhus in the Buddha's time, because I know we have discussed this. And one sutta that I was looking at is the Vangisa Sutta in Samyutta Nikaya, where it talks about how there were 500 monks who were arahats. And the Buddha said to Sariputta that of these 500, 60 have triple knowledge, tevija, 60 have sixfold supernormal knowledge, that is six abhinya, 60 are emancipated both ways, ubhato bhaga vimutta, and the others emancipated by insight alone. Now, for the insight, it has panya vimutta, and the question is, what is the meaning of panya vimutta? Because according to Bhikkhu's Bodhi's note to the sutta, panya vimutta refers to arahats who have attained the goal without mastering the rupa brahma jhana, so they still have rupa jhana. So if we say that these remaining 320 just developed insight, vipassana, it could be misleading because they may have realized mundane jhana as base. Do you have anything to say about the meaning of panya vimutta?
The person without the special qualification of devicha and so on. But I think that even we know, we'll forget all about this.
What do you mean, forget all about?
Yes, tomorrow we'll forget.
The question is, because I've heard you also say that in the Buddha's time, more people became Aryans who hadn't attained jhanas than who had attained jhanas. So I just wondered which your source.
Already forget.
Yeah, you forgot your source, yeah. And so for this, when it talks about these people, yeah, then just not important at all, yes. But if we say something like, oh, there were more people who became arahats who hadn't attained jhanas, or Aryans who hadn't attained jhanas, then it's difficult to find the actual source.
Can we say that this is nikkanti, very, very fine attachment?
Yes, wanting to find out an answer or... But then better not to even say there were more of this or that.
Because
we don't know.
Have all the understanding
we cannot
from
know.
All the suttas.
Yes. Mm. So this detail we cannot really understand.
It doesn't matter at all.
Your original point was regarding number of laypersons versus ordained bhikkhus.
It doesn't matter at all.
No, I'm just asking to clarify.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, well... Halfway through I changed because I realized that actually this is referring to those who had used jhana as base and those who hadn't attained jhanas. But I think that's the implication, bhikkhus versus lay people. But it's a slightly different point.
Is this the question of difference in understanding and confidence about the path? Because those who seem to want to... make jhanas an important teaching and want to make it as if the Buddha taught jhanas, they don't see that it's the Eightfold Path that leads to eradication of kilesas.
I think that we all have different interests right now. To me, I don't mind all those things at all. With what it's more or less, because we waste time understanding reality, but we are caught up by the very fine attachment to.
Just to tag on there is that it doesn't matter whether newly hatched student or long-term seasoned student from many, many Dhamma discussions, that it is always fruitful and never repetitive and always refreshing to me, and that anyone can benefit, no matter, there's no beginning or advanced class, entry level is, it's always open.
But somehow this topic is seen by people as relating to the Buddha's teaching about the development of the path.
Matter. Different interests.
Right. Yeah. I think that Sarah's point is people feel that because lay people are the exception, therefore the monk's life is more conducive to the development of the path, that sort of thing. That's how they see it.
Depending on accumulation, that's all.
But even as Sarah pointed out, I mean, was reading the suttas, it was quite clear that the remaining, only some would be if they were involved in jhanas, the rest not. So it shows that it's not important. If there were any who were enlightened without jhanas, it shows that that is what leads to understanding.
The actual point was, because before actually I've heard Ajahn refer to the sutta, Nina has written about it in her writing as an example of how most bhikkhus who were enlightened or became arahats hadn't attained jhana. But actually when I studied it a bit more carefully, then it's not quite like that. So, because it actually just means they hadn't attained a rupa jhana, so it's...
We don't know.
So it's not
what
quite clear.
Rupa jhana? Should we find out? I think that the most important thing is to understand the path, which is quite a long way, because it has to be right now. And I leave this point to the others who are interested.
Another point that I've been discussing a little bit recently with Nina and one or two friends, because one friend is translating her old Vipassana letters into Mandarin and she's revising it. Sometimes, like in the past, would be reference to Vipassana in daily life or developing Vipassana Bhavana. But my comment was actually Vipassana just refers to insight. So now we would talk more about developing understanding now in daily life, which leads to the development of Satipatthana and which leads to Vipassana. So we wouldn't talk so much about now about Vipassana in daily life, or maybe even the title Vipassana letters may be a little bit misleading, because people think there is the development of Vipassana in a day, or they think they have attained levels of Vipassana, not understanding that what is known now is just pariyatti understanding, just the beginning of understanding, which will lead to the development of Satipatthana.
This is the
Vipassana.
Very important point to understand whatever is now.
Isn't there a distinction made between two types of understanding, Samatha and Vipassana?
So we can talk about the development of Samatha and Vipassana Bhavana, but in the case of Samatha, like now, for example, at a moment of any kusala, like at a moment of metta or a moment of kindness now, the citta is calm, there is calmness, but we cannot call it Samatha Bhavana because it's just moments of calmness. It's not the developed calm with understanding, but through understanding those moments of calm, it will lead to the development of Samatha. And the same with Vipassana Bhavana. There are moments now of right understanding about reality, like now when we hear that it's just hardness that's touched, or the world is just at this moment. It is the beginning of understanding about realities, but we can't say that it's Vipassana bhavana. It's a development of understanding.
We can use the word vipassana bhavana because it's bhavana anywhere.
Yes.
Can we say even now any understanding, even intellectual understanding?
Understanding, which is vipassana, so all the way is vipassana bhavana.
So even first moments of pariyatti, we can say it's vipassana bhavana. It will lead to.
Because it's not the patipatti yet.
No. So,
in the context of dana, sila, bhavana, pariyatti has to be vipassana bhavana. It's not any of the other categories. So, in that sense.
Yeah. Well, we can say it leads to the development of vipassana. So in that sense, it is.
The most important is right understanding of the development.
It's a little bit like when we talk about the path, like moments of understanding about realities. We cannot actually say it is the path yet, but it's the understanding leading to the path. So in this sense,
Without it, it's impossible.
But when we refer to vipassana bhavana, you would say that even moments of intellectual understanding is vipassana bhavana, or just leading to?
Leading to. Because even right now, without right understanding, how there can be vipassana bhavana? So each moment of understanding will bring to the path, the moment of satipatthana.
I think vipassana can be used to refer to the vipassana jnanas, or in the context of vipassana bhavana, it refers
what
to
what is the difference, bhavana and jnana?
Well, it seems to me that moment of pariyatti, if we're talking about dana, sila, bhavana, classification of
it's
of
not
kusa.
Vipassana jnana yet.
No. But it falls under bhavana. Yes. Of the vipassana variety, not the samatha variety.
And in these old quotes of yours, because these letters are quite old, often you would say, be aware now, like it's just this moment, be aware now. Whereas now we'd be more inclined to say, the seeing now, develop understanding now. Is it still correct to say be aware now? Because without awareness there cannot be any understanding.
No matter one say be aware now, one has to understand the anattaness.
Exactly, yeah. That's the point, yeah. Whether it's about awareness or understanding. But actually they develop together, but the point is just whether there is any.
Without the understanding of the anattaness of realities, it's impossible to develop right understanding.
So when you say be aware now, it actually is simply pointing to the importance of understanding the present moment. Mm-hmm. It's not saying do something.
No.
Kunsara, do you think the point of anattaness also go back to the sutta in saying that at that moment, all the different bhikkhus, even despite their accumulations, whether jnana or through vipassana, it's ready for the fruits for them to become arahant, and there's no changing otherwise because it's anatta.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the right point. No matter the accumulations, no matter the previous accomplishments or lack of accomplishments, if the understanding, the vipassana understanding has been developed, if all the ingredients are in place, it's time to understand, it's time to be enlightened. So that is exactly the point, that it is the development of understanding, not the skill in abhinyas or the knowledge or rupa jhanas, that is important. So I think it's a good point to stress, all leading to the nature of conditions, the understanding of dhammas as anatta.
So you think vipassana should be limited to the jnanas?
I think the real meaning of vipassana is clear insight, and it is the clear insight of the vipassana jnanas. So it's when the understanding has been developed to that degree that directly understands the realities at those levels. So any understanding now or any development of satipatthana leads to vipassana, but we cannot say that any moment of satipatthana or any moment of pariyatti is vipassana, but it's leading to the development of vipassana.
It's just right now. Yeah. See? Mm-hmm. Vipassana? Jnana? Or just leading to?
So, Achan, it's not vipassana jnana, but can we say it's vipassana bhavana? Moment of right understanding?
Yeah. Different levels. Even just a bit, or even just few, it will lead to more and more understanding.
Can we say it's just like when we talk about the path, like now talking about realities, it's not the moment of satipatthana, it's not the moment of path, but it's leading to, so we can talk about it as the path.
All
because it's
our panya.
All our panya. Yeah.
Different levels. And who can say or tell what level it is now? Whether it's just a little bit clearer or not yet. It's not the matter of trying to have it, but just to understand the reality, the object, and that can tell whether how much understanding is there. Very little, or some, or none at all. If there is the idea of concerning so much about it, the self is there. So seeing it just like yesterday, or the morning, or just a moment ago, it depends on understanding. Very, very gradually developed by itself, panya itself.
I have to admit that when I'm writing messages to the discussion list, I am concerned about using the right terms for the right thing, because other people are reading it. So I think from that side is one thing. But for one's own understanding, there need not be the same concern about being so exact about what level it is or anything like that.
It depends on satipatthana, whether it arises or not. Life just goes on as usual. At moment of satipatthana only, which is different from daily life, as no awareness with it.
Yeah, so while you are trying to find the right words to use, panya may arise that does not mind whether you're able to know what it is.
Or it can be some level of panya which knows what words.
Yes, or not, or know that you... Right.
So all realities are hidden all the time until satipatthana is there to begin to know the characteristic of our reality at that very moment, little by little. Very natural. How many citta and cetasikas have fallen away? See, who knows?
When we were in Vietnam last time, there was, during all the days we were there, there was one question asked that we didn't answer. Nina didn't answer, Jonathan and I didn't answer. And you asked us to answer, but we didn't. And the reason I didn't answer was I wasn't quite sure how to approach it. And the question was about the idipadas, the
word
roads to power or success. I was thinking about, you know, adipati pachya and the chandavirya, chitta and vimamsa, but they were talking about the samadhi, the idipada.
As it's not one's own understanding, it's useless.
Yes. But if you just say, well, it's useless if it's not one's own understanding. But what is the helpful way to
just
explain?
Just to know that they are there. That's all.
what these factors like the factors, chanda and citta and virya, just to know these factors are there. Mm-hmm. And what is the connection between them and samadhi, because it talks about chanda samadhi, virya samadhi, and
it can be right now, which is unknown until it's known.
Mm. But why, for example, we know, okay, like we come here because of an interest, chanda, so at that moment the...
But it's not exactly...
Not
moment.
Exactly, no, just but it may be just because of chanda or because of virya or because of panya. But if we... What does it mean to talk about chanda samadhi?
Without
or
them, there can never be the full understanding of the path.
Of the path, right, without these factors. And so when it talks about the nature of samadhi, like chanda samadhi, virya samadhi, what does it mean?
When it's not that level yet, can it appear?
I see. So just when it, when these factors become strong and predominant, then at that point they...
It's like just talking about Satipatthana right now.
Yes.
And Satipatthana hasn't arisen yet at all. Who can understand the moment with Satipatthana?
Yes.
The same as Itipada and all the Pala and so on.
Right. Okay, so it's just the Itipada just really talking about the development of these factors that have to become so strong to become enlightened, that's all.
Just like whatever is now, who knows?
Mm.
They're not known until then.
And can one say, for example, when the chanda, the kusala chanda, is so strong as a factor that the samadhi must be strong with
it? Without wish or hope.
Yes. That's the point, yes. Because usually, like when this friend asked about the Idipadas, usually it's with wishing or hoping or wanting to experience it or something.
Or just to know. Just to hear about it.
So if someone brings up this topic, what is the helpful way to answer? Because just to talk about these factors in daily life, whether there's any knowing now, whether virya or chanda is predominant.
Yeah, to understand reality right now.
Yeah.
And without wishing or hoping.
Yeah. If there's no knowing now, whether chanda or virya or panya is predominant, then...
It is there, like other cetasika.
Yeah. And no point looking for it or wishing to find it, otherwise it's... Sila Bhatta Paramasa again.
Otherwise, one is led by such matters.
I'm not sure I get the what's being explained, but I'm wondering whether it's something like when we talk about the topic of concentration at certain levels of understanding, the characteristic of concentration becomes clear. So is there something like that at certain moments the characteristic of chanta becomes clear and virya becomes clear, this chanta samadhi?
Because they are all cetasikas like now, but if it's not known from the very beginning, how can one know that level, which is stronger?
But we usually
like
talk about...
Like Itipatthana now for Satipatthana.
But usually we talk about knowing one reality.
Yes.
The characteristic of one reality.
Mm-hmm. To be known.
To be known. So it's Panya which knows one reality, one characteristic at a time. And when we talk about understanding chanta, we talk about its characteristic, understanding its characteristic.
Just to see the difference between chanta and lobha.
Right.
And other cetasikas.
So we understand chanta better, we understand how... it is different from dopa, how it's different from concentration.
Just to help or condition moment of no self. Mm. This is the point.
Mm. But in this case, it's talking about chanta samadhi. So what's the understanding, chanta samadhi?
It will lead to more attachment to the self, or it condition the understanding of no self.
what it says in the Visuddhimagga, it says, for example, when chanda becomes a predominant factor, then, well, it uses the phrase, reaches concentration. So through the development of chanda or the other predominant factors, then concentration develops, and that is called concentration of chanda, chanda samadhi. So I think they develop together.
They develop together
and with panya.
Maybe,
so when it becomes strong, it's called
maybe
chanda
one of
samadhi.
Them, in one case, it's chanda is strong, the other is virya is strong.
Yes.
Okay.
Of different moments. And then there is the idipadas in the development of samatha, development of jhanas, and the idipadas in the development of vipassana, and the lokuttara idipadas. So one has to know the context too.
Different ones.
I think that usually when people ask, like in Vietnam, when they ask about idipadas, I think that usually they're asking about jhanas and magical powers and this kind of mastery. I don't think that they're usually interested in understanding about realities or development of wholesome chanda or virya with right understanding of realities. So it depends what they've been reading to.
So maybe now, from now you can answer, you'll forget it tomorrow.
Or even
no point wasting time answering it.
Yes, humorous and lighthearted. I'll forget it tomorrow. So to be in the flow of now moments, always changing, nothing to cling to. It's inconsequential, it's not so important if I forget it. And the unconditioned reality is not forgotten, and that's a long, long way. But yes, to be here now without an eye to results, simply applying myself to whatever arises here now, this flow of now moments, and this flow in the flow of these now moments is the dustlessness. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
And it's not even applying oneself to this moment, so nothing to be done at all. Otherwise, there may be an idea of trying to be aware or trying to understand at this moment, and then one goes wrong again. So.
Yes.
So no applying to now or even. Yeah.
Yes.
But actually at a moment of understanding, of seeing or hearing, the world as we know it disappears because it's just that reality at that moment, no thought of trying or applying at all.
Yes, that aha, and then that's it. It's elusive and ephemeral at this point, so it's futile to grasp it. There is no grasping or craving or trying. I don't know how to put it, an effort without a constriction, a sort of relaxation. And it changes a lot. It changes all the time. So the thought to the future or an event from the past. But to have that sort of beingness and awareness, making these plans for the future and so forth. So it can not to have some understanding of not having to do anything is simply not just, well, I sit there passively like a blob. No, but there is virya. Virya arises and or sometimes kanti or what have you. It changes.
So,
the virya.
It just performs its own function. We don't need to have any thought about having virya or not having virya, because after seeing and hearing,
it arises anyway, performs its function in a kusala or a kusala way. So no one to have virya or not have virya.
Yes. And there is the citta does not know. There is no knowing of what will arise next and no way to control or shape it or anything of that. So, yes, virya or what have you, akusala, kusala, it always changes in the next reality arising. Hmm.
Sarah, and I think that's the conversation that you and Kun Eve have there, is the, like Thanachan said, about itibada, pala, or any other the path factors, is to understand that they have their own characteristics that can only be known at the moment of their arising, but not something that we can seek for to try to understand, but to know that it's there and it's a part of the factor that will arise only through right understanding and through listening, carefully listening and consideration of the Dhamma.
And that's why any word like virya or idipada, any word one has to consider very carefully, because it has to relate to what appears now and the understanding now. So this is why there has to be the very careful study. Otherwise, one uses words and completely misunderstands, like, be aware now. People can think that they should try and be aware of visible object or seeing, not understand at all that any understanding, any virya is arising totally by conditions, not by anyone's will or wish.
Yes, and
so this is why we discuss for so long, to really consider each word very carefully indeed.
Yes, and also in the Thai conversation that Thanachan always reminds us, is to not to be, in Thai would be pramat, or not to be respectful of the words, but even that careful consideration, it had to be conditioned by listening well, fang doi di. So even that careful considerations is conditioned by the good dhammas and listening to the Dhamma carefully, not to seek for it and not to try to find out. Thank you, Kunsara.
And we have to remember that what we're studying or understanding is the teaching of the Buddha about realities. It's not Ajahn's teaching or someone's. Otherwise, one can be disappointed or one finds something else. It's the Buddha's teaching that Ajahn or anyone is pointing to, that we have to be so respectful of and consider so very carefully. Otherwise, it can just lead to more attachment instead of detachment, which develops with understanding of those words taught by the Buddha. Question from a friend in our group about objects of samatha or calm. So we know that certain objects, if reflected on wisely, like death or metta, if considered wisely, can condition calm naturally, but not by trying. For example, breath, if considered wisely about how, like even now, how life depends on breath, and it's so brief. Without breath, there's no life, there's no understanding at all. So a little wise consideration on the suitable objects conditions calm. And his question is, what makes the concept of breath a suitable object of samatha and not, for example, the concept of heartbeat as an object? Because we can say life depends on this heartbeat and it's a concept, but breath is a
depends
concept.
On conditions.
Depends on conditions. Yeah. So can one say that because even reflecting on the shortness of heartbeat can be a condition of calmness?
Who can? Who do?
Just by conditions. No one does.
I don't think anyone does at all.
And no one has wise reflection on a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. But by conditions, one can see that any idea can come from accumulation.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we don't understand why the 38 or 40 objects of Samatha are what they are, right? But the Buddha said that these are the objects of Samatha, the development.
I think that, for example, there may be some understanding of why these objects can condition calm, but the question is, what about other objects? Like if we say chocolate pudding, it's obvious whenever there's reflection on chocolate pudding, it's conditioned for attachment. It's not a condition for calm. But his question was, if, for example, one reflects how life is so brief, and if there isn't any heartbeat now, then there's no life. Why cannot an object like this be conditioned for
without calm? Chocolate?
Without chocolate, no chocolate and the heartbeat.
I don't know, for adjustment here, but that the heart depends on the breath, which is regulated by citta, conditioned by citta, and without the breath, the heart stops. And the way the heart could be, for example, influence on the heartbeat could be through controlling the breath, which is voluntary and involuntary, and the heartbeat is involuntary. But if I slow my breath and refrain from strenuous physical activity, the heart will go beat slower. But when the breath quickens in response to physical activity or anxiety or adrenaline, then the heart beats faster. But citta is the determining factor for that. And it's through my observation that the heart is governed by the breath, which is citta, of course. And it's only one breath. And even that is just so many nanoseconds. It's mind-boggling.
So what is panya?
Panya is wisdom.
Understanding what?
The anattaness of dhammas.
Or calmness.
Or calmness.
It's not self when it's vipassana. But when it's not satipatthana, it's not vipassana. It's just only calm. So it's not the object, but it's the moment of citta which is calm. At that very moment that can be known. Not trying to find whether this object or that object will bring calm. Like whether it is heart beating or what.
Ajahn, there is a difference between wise consideration of objects of samatha and wise consideration as chintamaya panya. About dhammas, there is a difference, isn't it?
Very different level.
I mean, we can see that wise concentration in terms of development of samatha is thinking without a reality.
Not understanding reality as not self.
Not understanding reality as not self is thinking about reality, about
calmness
and the story about realities. But just now I was thinking that there's a difference between heartbeat and breath, in that heartbeat is not experienced breath, whereas breath you can,
it's a reality,
heartbeat is not.
It's not experienced. I mean, you can train yourself to concentrate.
It appears.
Sometimes it appears. Sometimes it appears, but it's not like breath.
Well, you could say the motion or the rupa that appears, that we refer to as heartbeat appears, like just like the
breath is
like it's a rupa, which we refer to as breath. So it's the same in that sense. So one could actually say that it is reflection on a reality in that
depending
same way.
On the understanding.
Yeah. So actually, there could be calmness reflecting on it.
On the
heartbeat, yeah. Because it is, if it is reflection wisely about that reality that we call heartbeat, just like there can be reflection about the
but
reality
it would, it
we call
it
breath.
It wouldn't be samatha development. It would be
moments of calm.
Right understanding. Yeah.
Without understanding, it cannot be calm, samatha, or vipassana.
We're trying to find out why the 40 objects of
That's
meditation
That's why
you
have to understand the understanding, whether it's the understanding of samatha or understanding of vipassana.
Right, and within the topic of samatha, we know that there are only these number
it
of
is
objects.
Object or topic of samatha when the understanding is only that level of samatha, no understanding of reality as the self.
I think the point is that, for example, like the example of heartbeat, if there's wise consideration, understanding at the level of calmness, there can be calmness at that moment. But when it talks about the 40 objects, it's talking about those objects that can be the object of the development of calmness to the level of upachara or apana samadhi. So there are reasons why breath can, for the very exceptional, can be the object of calm right to the level of jhana because of the very subtleness of it. But for heartbeat, there can be calmness reflecting on it, but it cannot be the object of upachara samadhi because of the amount of discursive thinking involved, probably.
So maybe the object of the heartbeat is related to reflection on death as a samatha practice, right? Because
development or whatever.
Because we have only a certain number of objects of samatha development, right? And when you talk about a heartbeat and you're saying it's not we're not understanding realities, but you're thinking about it. So what is it really that conditions calm? Just the idea of having a heartbeat? No, something else that only when you're...
Actually, when I think about this, it's like breath now. It's not the developed calmness, but just like now, there can be reflection on how without breath we wouldn't be having this discussion,
right,
and how life depends on it. And one can reflect on heartbeat in the same way, that without any heartbeat, without those rupas that we call heartbeat, then
there wouldn't be life.
So they can condition moments of calmness depending on the understanding at this moment. But if one starts having an idea or thinking about heartbeats and science and how it's related to breath, then no calmness, it's just thinking with attachment about the story of it.
Right, and if you were supposed to, instead of heartbeat, you would think of candle flame, that also wouldn't condition, right? Because you can't be talking. You may think in terms of impermanence, for example. So even a candle flame can condition calm?
Well, it's never the object that conditions calm. It's not the candle flame or the breath that conditions calm. It's the wise reflection on that object.
So
like
on anything.
If one can reflect now how a candle flame is just like death, as you mentioned, and can be blown out any time and life can come to a halt, there can be wise reflection. Mm. So it's not the candle flame that conditions, but the wise reflection now on
leaf falling from a tree. You know, it depends on the understanding, right?
Right. So this is why the Buddha used different similes, so there can be reflection. Can
the four primary rupa be object of samatha?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter whether it is the breath or the heart beating.
Right.
Or even the candle like flame. Yeah?
Right, right.
So it depends on right understanding of what level is there. So the Patthavi can be the object of samatha or vipassana, depending on understanding.
And could one also then say the Patthavi, that no matter whether one calls it breath or heartbeat or leaf, it depends on how far that understanding is developed and how much calm is conditioned. Otherwise, one kind of sets a rule again. So it could be the Patthavi of chocolate cake even.
Because by the end of the tattoo, the four primary, jatu tattoo, vatthana, it can be object of samatha.
And there's never any need, or I don't know how to phrase this quite, about grasping after. Moments of understanding arise and these accumulate and condition and more understanding. And so there's never any efforting toward results or grasping.
It's there, but it depends on panya. Whether that moment is calm by other cetasikas arising, or whether it is panya which understands it as yourself.
Mm-hmm. You know, in school, we were trained for fire drills or emergency situations, how long to evacuate the building, to exit the building. And the teacher always instructed the pupils to be calm, to not panic in the face of an emergency. And the thought came that even in terror or fear or panic, there are moments of calm interspersed. It's not one fused that a person can act.
But there must be the understanding of calm as it is, whether at that moment it's that calm or not calm.
The understanding when it arises. Yeah.
And if one thinks there should be more calm now, or less attachment, or less desire, or trying to have this or that, then again, one goes wrong because it's attachment that would like to have more calm in life, who wouldn't like to get agitated if there is a fire in the building or whatever. So the point about the development of understanding of realities is no matter how life goes, no matter what appears, it's just conditioned dharma. So as soon as there's that even subtle trying to have it another way, wishing to have more calm, then it's that's the hindrance, because at that moment it's the wrong practice, however slight.
Yes, thank you, Sarah, as in the desire to eradicate attachment.
That's the hindrance.
When someone say, be calm, can there be calm without any understanding of calmness at all? Even when there is some understanding of calmness, and when someone hears the word be calm, can they be calm? Even there is the understanding of calm, without conditions, without understanding, it's calm without understanding. By conditions. Because there is calm at moment of giving, at moment of sila, at moment of any kinds of good deeds. But no one knows. Like now, at moment of understanding, it's calm. No one knows. Until it's known.
The understanding, for example, the understanding arises and it's an interruption to the thought. The thought comes later. It's just that moment of pure understanding or pure calm or pure virya, or even akusala, and then understanding that was a moment of akusala or terror. But Yes, the mind so active, this thinking thing.
But it's not a matter of, those moments of understanding, slowing down the thinking or stopping the thinking, because life just goes on as usual. It doesn't take an instant for panya to arise, so it's not as though the normal thinking is any different, or it doesn't mean that one's not distracted by what's going on outside, or one's not thinking about the air conditioner and a Dharma discussion. Life goes on as usual, but understanding can flit in any time, just like lobha usually flits in any time.
Yes.
Otherwise, if one has any idea of the thinking changing or stopping or anything being different, then again it's an idea of something different from natural, normal daily life.
Yes, it's so natural.
So the problem is not particularly that one is thinking about the past or future. It's not understanding. It doesn't matter what habit of thinking anyone has. It's for each person, it's the important thing is to understand what appears now. Thinking is not a problem. If thinking arises, that's what needs to be understood.
Lucas, our friend in Poland, asked a question. He said he'd been thinking recently on Aramanu Panisyapachya, and as he remembers, this can only have pleasant object which is accumulated. So we talk about attachment to a particular taste, and this attachment to that pleasant taste accumulating in this way. Or we can talk about moments of understanding of particular objects, understanding of sound, for example, and how the understanding accumulates by this condition. But his question is, what about with dosa? Dosa can have an object and with unpleasant feeling, but can the dosa mulacitta be accumulated by way of aramana upanisiyapachya? And we said no. Like the liking the killer had when he performed a bad deed already, so that particular kind of dosa accumulates by pakudupanisiyapachya, by natural decisive support condition, but not by aramanupanisiyapachya, even though it seems that it's dosa for a particular object that accumulates again and again, like there may be dosa to a particular colour, and that dosa seems to accumulate in this way, same way.
As anusya. But not as aramanu upanisya. Because does it like it? Does it just want to have it all the time, like the good object?
No, it's the aversion to the bad object that accumulates.
It very often.
Yes.
But it is not as deep as one just want to have just pleasant things.
I see. So the dosa to the unpleasant object, you would say it's not
anusya.
As anusya, but
not aramanupanisya.
You say it's not as deep as the attachment to a particular object. That's interesting, because sometimes it would seem that the dosa to a particular object, it might seem that it's very strong.
But one doesn't like the object.
No, one doesn't like the object.
So it cannot be the aramanupanisya.
No. Because that just relates to the pleasant object.
Yeah. So, aramanu panisyapachaya only relates to
pleasant
objects and the lopa that towards the object.
Or it can be panya, like the understanding can develop by this condition to particular objects also. So it can be kusala or akusala, not just attachment.
Aramanu panisyapachaya?
By aramanu panisyapachaya, yes. Because, for example...
Still, at that time, the object must be a pleasant object. When panya arises to know the object, is it also a pleasant object only?
The
The present sensuous object can be the Aramanupa Nisyapajya, but the other pleasant object, which is not the sensuous object, can be object of Aramanupa Nisyapajya, like we would like to understand reality. See, that can be object of Pakatupa Nisyapajya, of Kusala, not of Lopa. So it does mean that the Aramanupanisyapajya is just for Lopa, but when it's on the wholesome side, that can be the object, Aramanupanisyapajya.
Sukin's question is, when it's the object of wholesome, does it still have to be, for example, a desirable visible object or any
for
visible object?
For wholesomeness.
For wholesomeness. So it so still has to be...
But the upana must be wholesome moment.
Wholesome moment, yes.
And the object is the understanding of the teachings of whatever it is, which is not the sensuous object.
Well, then, if it's not the sensuous object, it would be still could be by Aramanupanisya or just by Pakatupanisyapachya, then?
Aramanup. It can be
Aramanup, still any object, yeah. Any object at all. Yeah.
So the concept of Dhamma, understanding Dhamma at the level of Pariyati, for example, that can be Aramanupanisyapachya.
Or even the reality itself can be the Aramanupanisyapachya for Kusala.
Sorry, could you give an example of that, Ajahn? An example of the reality itself.
The characteristic of reality can be the Aramanupanisyapajya for Kusala with Panya.
Like visible object.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying that when there's awareness of visible object, that the visible object is Aramanupanisyapajya?
For now,
or?
We'd like to understand the characteristic of reality, right?
Yes.
What for? For understanding, for the
yes.
sake of understanding. So that object can be the Aramanupanisyapajya for Panya.
Can be, right. But if it is object of Panya, is it Aramanupanisyapajya? Or it may not be Aramanupanisyapajya? Can be. So what distinguishes?
For you, is it now the Aramanupanisyapajya? Come here to have more understanding in order to understand reality. Not just to hear the words, but to really experience whatever is now as not self. That is Pakatupanisyapajya, leading to more and more to be Aramanupanisyapajya on the
so
person.
Could I take a personal example? Listening to Dhamma, understanding the words, and then because there's your voice also, because keep hearing Dhamma, your voice, that voice can be Aramanupanisyapajya?
Usually for Lopa.
Usually, but can it be?
I don't think so, because whatever is experienced through the sense, though, conditioned the Lopa.
That was why I was mentioning about how it's the Buddha's words, the Buddha's teachings that actually is the condition for understanding as pointed to by our friends. Otherwise, if one thinks it is the person or the friend, it's conditioned for more and more attachment.
But at the same time, if I remember right, I've heard about the Buddha's rupa being object Aramanupanisyapajya
for attachment. Or understanding. What about his attendant who followed him everywhere because he was so attached to the rupas
That's
of the
attachment.
Buddha? So can be conditioned for attachment or understanding,
but usually
depending.
No matter whose body, not the Buddha, just the sensuous object. As much as one can understand it.
I think it's like when one talks about those three gochara, and the first one
the object which reflected on again and again or is becomes the common object of understanding. So it's not just like one moment of understanding about a reality, but if the object repeatedly or habitually becomes the object of understanding, then it becomes the gotra, and then it's the Aramanupanisiapachya, the one that is becomes a strong condition for understanding because of the previous wise reflection leading to the guarding and then the direct understanding.
What is that object?
So the Upanisya Gotra, the like visible object or sound that one's reflected and heard a lot about, that is conditioned for when one hears it, when one hears about sound or hardness, is it conditioned for boredom or attachment, or is it conditioned when one hears it for understanding, because there's been a lot of Chintamaya Panya, a lot of wise reflection about that reality. So if it's the one that commonly becomes the object of understanding, that is the Upanisya Gotra leading to direct understanding, or the Aramanupanisya Pachya, the object that's commonly understood, but not by any trying or wishing or interrupting thinking, but just naturally. So it just depends on accumulations. What so, is?
No, I've forgotten completely about gotra. But so what I'm hearing is that Upanisya gotra refers to the object that's repeatedly being considered a certain way.
Yes. So gotra means aramana. It's the object. So it's the object by decisive condition becomes the object of understanding because of having heard and reflected on that object often. So coming here, hearing about various dharmas is condition for those dharmas to become Upanisya Gotra, object of wise reflection, which leads to Araka Gotra, development of all kinds of wholesomeness, leading to Upanibandha Gotra, which is the direct understanding of realities. So I think it's related to this other point.
So now it's visible object, Aramana, but Upanishadipatya. See? One has to know by oneself. That's why we come and talk more and more about seeing, hearing, and the objects to be Gotra Upanisya.
It might be helpful, Sukhin, that Gotra means means object, but it means Gotra, which means the field of the cow field. You know, what is the field? What is the range? Or what is the it's been referred to as object, but it means the field, literally, the going of the cow.
And what's the cow?
That's the object.
Yeah.
Sorry, could you explain that again? The word meaning? Gotra.
Go means cow or cow, and chara means to go. So it's literally the
So go doesn't mean to go.
No.
Go.
You might have often in Gopala, you know, like Gopala and other religions. The go is the field, literally. Gochara is the field.
Chara.
Chara.
Is the field, and the ko is the citta.
I think it's referring to the domain or the field of the citta. So the domain or the field of the citta.
Not of, like, or of wisdom.
Is the object the aramana?
While I was traveling, met with another lady, and we went to visit a beautiful golden stupa We stood in front at dusk time just taking in the scenery and how beautiful it was. And then I invited her to tea at a chai shop, and we turned. And then seconds later, a man on a motorbike turned just where we were into traffic, and a truck behind him honked. He didn't go enough to the right sufficiently, and the truck hit him from behind. And then the physical body, lifeless corpse, just like lifeless Superman, helmet, sailed through the air and then fell to the ground, and hear the crunch, or the helmet and the thud of the physical body. And my friend had a different response than I did, for lack of a better word. There was this sort of quietness within at what was just had happened before me. But for understanding the conditions that led to that, this man's passing from this plane of existence, and at that moment of impact, the cheetah interrupted, and then...
And then it's not Kojira Upanisya.
No.
Because it's the story. The Kojira must be that which is seen.
Yes.
No one there. No back. Yeah. Until it becomes the decisive support conditions to understand whatever appears, not as people and things, but only that which can be seen. This is the way to erase or to decrease the idea of self, of that which is seen.
Yes, and the kutichita, the one that cuts, the death one, how do you say that, sir?
Chuti chita.
Well,
we don't know which moment the chuti chita happens.
Simultaneously at that? No.
Thinking.
Wait. Story.
It arises there, so
it can be thinking wisely or usually unwisely, but if we're talking about the Upanisya Gotra, we're talking about the object of Satipatthana, the object of understanding of reality. So at the moment of understanding of reality, visible object can be the object or sound, but thinking about how the death of this person may come and may have gone, and we don't know when death will come, that can be a condition for a moment of calmness if it's wise reflection on death, but not the object of development of understanding of reality. So two different kinds of understanding that we're talking about, but when we're talking about the three gotras, it's talking about the development of understanding of realities. Pariyati, leading to Patipati, leading to Pativeda.
Just briefly, do we know whether the jitta is gosala or agosala at a given moment? No.
Upanisya Gochara, I've written down the field of jitta, but it's more that it's feel of understanding.
Gotra is the field or the object, but if we're talking about Upanisya Gotra in this context, we're talking about the object of right understanding of reality, these three gotras. So it's very specific context.
Okay.
Upanisya is the decisive support, so the object which is the decisive support for understanding. So now we've heard a lot about visible object or sound, but it doesn't mean it's the Upanisya Gotra. It's the object which habitually is the object of understanding. But the reason we hear and consider so much about visible object or sound is because this is the way that the understanding is conditioned to understand those objects so that they become Upanisya Gotra, leading to direct understanding.
And Sarah, when you say the object that's habitually the object of understanding, do you mean one object, say visible object, or what?
It depends on different accumulations, like what is commonly understood, sound, or like some person may say, I can think of one friend who always says that visible object is never understood or never clear, but sound seems much clearer or hardness seems much clearer. So the object that's commonly understood or known, leading to the direct understanding. But actually understanding has to understand all kinds of objects.
Sometimes I get the impression that what it means is the habit of, getting to know more and more through all six doorways, and it becomes, in that sense, it's habitual. And gochara means not just one object, but the habit of understanding all, right, Ajahn?
But even so, not all objects, not all realities are commonly understood or become the habit of wise reflection. So it depends what realities or what objects are commonly understood or commonly reflected on. Like, is there much reflection about space or femininity or some subtle rupas? They're not the object of, they're not the Upanishya Gotra, the one that is the common object of wise reflection.
Without right understanding, can there be the Gotra Upanishya? So all objects, which is the can be the object of understanding only, not for attachment, but for understanding, is Gotra, the right object for understanding. For example, it can be seeing or visible object, hearing of sound or anything, the right Gotra object for to be the Upanishya, to understand.
So are we now talking about Upanishad Gotra as one moment of understanding?
Or? We talk about object when we talk about Gotra, which should be the Upanishya Pajya condition to understand better and better of that object.
And that which appears. That would refer to
object of
one kind of one kind of object?
Objects of
objects
understanding.
Of visible
object. Gotra is singular, so visible object or sound, any object. So there has to be understanding of many different objects, but each of those objects, that is the object
only one
of
would be,
understanding.
Only one would be Upanishad Gotra. Mm. Are you saying that?
Each one can only one. There can only be understanding of one object at a time.
Understanding. At moment of understanding, that's
the object is
Upanishya Gotra.
So which object now is your Gotra Upanishya? See? Begin to be, and it develops unknowingly.
I mean, it would be fair to say that any object of understanding is, at that moment, it's becoming
the right
a potential object of
the right
understanding.
Object for
so
understanding.
It can be.
So any object can become the right object. Any object is.
Because understanding has to understand all kinds of objects.
Yes, any reality is the opportunity from
sound.
Understanding to the.
If you like the sensuous object very much, it's not Gotra Upanishya.
Simply attachment and lobha covering it.
So it's not really the favorites. the favorites for understanding.
And if one thinks about chuti, citta, or death with fear, then it's not the
object of the gochara. But if one understands that seeing now actually arises and falls away so fast, so actually there's death even at this moment, then seeing consciousness can be the Upanisya gochara. Yeah.
Yes, it was very... for myself, matter of fact, observing what was there and conditions what arises. So I cannot control what arises, it's conditions. But from time to time it arises and it's rich. It's rich. And it was breathtaking how quickly it all happened. Just seconds I was there, and so I marveled with appreciation, conditions, and matter of fact, and a point of stillness there, as if I was the fulcrum on something happening around there, and how quickly it all happened, and it was, if you will, a moment of the danger of this becoming or continuing on this birth and death cycle. Just that this the danger of it. The dread of it, in a way. Words. The poverty of words.
Fertility of life.
Yes, yes. And the truck driver, of course, was all responsible and stopped. All gone. Just so quickly. Yeah. Yes. That was it. And the lifeless corpse, there was no time for even a scream that issued forth and fell, and that was it. And then some moments there, the truck, of course, came back and the driver responsible in that reality. So observing. And then two people, there was no blood on the ground. Lift this, and I greeted Azita with, you know, what would you like, paper or plastic? I refer to this vehicle in sort of a humorous way, but could see that there was bulging from the trauma of the impact and the hemorrhaging within the body. Could see, and it was, yes, so fast. Just one moment of life, so fast. What was played before me, but. At any moment, and there's no knowing what will arise, but a rich opportunity for understanding now, like, now.
There's no knowing.
Yes, yes.
And for karma to bring its result, we never know.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Appreciation, moments of appreciation. Thank you.
Is that Kojira Upanishad? Mm-hmm.
It may be condition for moment of calm if one's reflecting that death can come now and by karma life in this realm can finish any time, but that's not Upanisya Gotra because it's not the reality. So at this moment there can be understanding, it's just sound heard or just visible object that's seen at that moment, and that can be Gotra of Upanisya Gotra.
Earlier you mentioned that the Chuti Chitta can be object of Upanisya Gotra.
No.
I thought you
sounded
the same.
Yeah, you're saying that, but I don't think she meant that.
Oh, you.
Because it's not now. What I said was, if one's reflecting on death or how it can come, there can be a condition of calm. It can just be a condition of calmness. But seeing now, actually seeing at this moment, is a reality at this moment which arises and falls away. Actually, there's birth and death of seeing even now. So understanding seeing itself, which rises and falls away, can be Upanisya Gotra.
Queen Sarah, can the wise reflection of thinking as it is, or that thinking to its condition, can that be an object of Upanishaya gochara.
Yeah, so even when one's telling the story, there's thinking, there can be awareness and understanding, even while one's talking, of thinking as just a reality, not my thinking, no person out there, but actually just that reality. So thinking can be Upanishaya gochara. And earlier, I think you mentioned something about death or chuti-chitta being interrupted, but actually chuti-chitta is just another moment, just like now. So just like each reality now, each chitta now arises, falls away, and is followed by the next one. Like in deep sleep, there is one chitta after another. It's just like the chuti-chitta. We don't know, it could be any time, it can be the last one. So it's just like chitta now, each chitta followed by another chitta. So it's not actually that anything is interrupted, it's just one chitta after another all the time.
Yes, not final.
Sarah, can we use the word yoniso manasikara? Okay.
Can we?
So what is yoniso manasikara?
Like any, there can be yoniso manasikara. It has to be wholesome, wise attention, and it can be wisely attending to realities. But even if one reflects on death in a wholesome way, or in a way that conditions karma, it is yoniso manasikara. But it's not the wise attention about realities, the Upanishaya gochara.
And what's in the book, Kunsundra?
About?
Yes, please.
Oh. I was trying to follow the Kunnapuramai, not sure what you meant there. But yoniso, of course, means sadva, means wisely attending. So we can say, I suspect, perhaps Kunsira, I don't know. We can say that can be the Upanishad culture at that particular time. If there is wise attending, if there is yoniso manasikara, then they can be synonymous terms. Now, what we were talking about last week, Ajahn, was different types of panyati. And we know there are many different types of panyati, probably millions of different types. And in the texts, there are some examples given, like panyati, the ujjimana panyati, or the avujjimana panyati, or many different types of concepts. And you said it was just helpful if you can differentiate between the atapanyati or sadapanyati, to know which is which. Now, atapanyati, or sometimes called panyapieta, and sadapanyati, it seems to me they're almost one and the same thing. Both those panyatis seem to be both the same. Like, atapanyati is sometimes called that which is made known, that which is made known. And panya and sarapanyati is that which makes known. They seem to be very, very similar. I'm not quite sure if one becomes the other or if there is always a distinct difference. Do you understand?
Okay, who's this? Who is this? Who is this?
We say, conventionally speaking,
Jonathan. Without work, do you know who is he?
Of course.
That is Atta.
That's Atta, of course.
Panyati.
So
when I use the word Jonathan,
yes,
you know what I mean.
Sound.
Yeah. So one, they can be one, both one and the same in a way, no. But they're different. Yes, they're different. I understand that. They're different, but they can, yes, they're different at different times, but they can refer to the same object.
One is the label.
Yes.
And the other is...
Say, yeah, okay.
Whatever is seen and you know what is that,
that's
is Atta Banyati.
All right.
And when you hear the word, but you don't know the meaning, it's only sound. But that which makes known is the sound, different one, Thai, English, Vietnamese, is Satta Banyati.
And I think it's from there.
Satta,
is it?
Satta is sound.
Satta as in D.
But actually sound, not only sound, even if written words, it's right.
But no sound which can be heard, only thinking about sound.
Thinking about sound. And now the question
is... Do you hear anything when you read?
No.
But you think of the sound.
But I think about in terms of sound. Right. Now I'm wondering about the difference between Sada Pandyati and Samuti Sachana.
That's right. We want yes, right.
So what's the difference between Sada Pandyati and Samuti Sacha?
A baby is the see Atta Pandyati. What is his name? It's Samuti.
Uttered or not uttered. Right.
Atta, you know what is what. But when you hear the word and you know, what does it mean? What it makes known?
So is this the difference?
Like microphone.
Microphone, whether or not we call it, it's still Samuti Sacha. And when you say microphone, that's Sada Pandyati.
Samuti Sacha.
Yeah.
Let's talk about...
Microphone, everyone calls...
Let's talk about Atta Pandyati and Sata Pandyati. When
right.
they are clear, when
right.
we can talk about okay. Samuti, because we can use the word, the meaning of it, and change it. I can call you other name, but it's still you when I see. And when I hear different names, I know that this is still you and that is still you.
So one is Atta and the other is Sada.
Sata. Mm. And Samuti.
And Samuti is...
Word.
Is...
Word. Big,
everyone agree that my name is Sukhin.
Mm-hmm.
That's Samuti Sacha.
Yes.
Sacha. We had the discussion last week. the important the point is the Samuti, not so much the Sacha.
We can say it's Samuti, and when it's about Paramada Dhamma, it is Samuti Sacha.
Because if it's just conventional language or chit-chat, then it's conventional discourse, Samuti, but it's not about the truths, it's not about Sacha.
You were here last week and we were wondering about Samuti Sacha, right? So,
if it's not about realities or about the truth of life, it's just Samuti.
Samuti, right.
So even if a statement like the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, it's just Samuti, not Sacha.
And we can change Samuti Sacha because it's only the word, but we cannot change the Paramata Sacha.
Can we simply say that Samuti Sacha is name?
Yes.
Just name.
Conventional use.
Yeah, conventional use. Thank
well,
you.
No, we're now making the distinction between Samuti Sacha and Samuti. So Samuti is name. But Samuti Sacha is name of realities.
Which is known. But you can change. But you cannot change the Paramata Sacha.
It's the experience.
You can change a name like Ariya Sacha, you can change it. But you cannot change the characteristic which is Paramata Sacha.
So if one talks about what is heard as sound or Sata, it's still Samuti Sacha. It doesn't matter or...
Because last week we were a bit confused.
Yes, I think that it doesn't matter as long as we understand the Samuti. That's
right.
All.
Okay, then.
and Vohara.
Vohara has to refer to the Buddha's words and
style of speech.
Style of speech.
Many, many styles.
Many
by way of this and by way of that.
Right.
And I've come across the terms samuti desana, I think it is. Samuti
desana.
Speech. Yeah. And
about kings and
right. People. But I don't think I've come across the term samuti satya in the text. I don't
about
know if it
reality too. Not only words.
Okay.
So the vihara, the styles of speech, can be referring to anyone's style of speech or nothing to do with...
But different from Buddha's way of speech.
Right. But does it... So it can be anyone,
right.
This person's vihara, this
vihara,
person...
Yes.
Any vihara.
Sariputta's...
Anyone's.
Mahakachajina.
But does it have to be... style of speech, anything to do with talking about realities or just the king's vihara?
Because Pali is only Makati language that
yes.
is used.
So it has to be about...
Anytime.
Just, would it be correct to say, John, this seems to be millions of different concepts because you're talking in the series that's brought up this concept of vihara wachana. How would you differentiate vihara from niruti, for example? Are you familiar with niruti or language?
Patibbana.
Yeah, well, that's part of the parisambhitas. But
so niruti is the understanding of all kinds of vajja. Understanding.
Understanding at what level would be?
It doesn't mean that you can talk, but you don't understand what you mean. Like parrots.
Like
parrots.
Parroting.
So niruti does mean only to be good in Pali, but to understand what is the meaning of it.
Like they always give the example in the text of sound. So for those who just hear the word sound, immediately is conditioned for understanding. So this is like Upanisya Gochara again. So when it's talking about niruti, it's talking about the understanding of realities, I think. Understanding the meaning of that language is referring to realities.
Niruti.
Niruti.
My understanding of niruti is really just relates to, as you said, can we relate that to paramattha dhamma or to
understanding reality?
Understanding reality.
Yeah. You can understand many, many languages, but what about the truth?
So you would put...
And I think that we might very much for the languages, but I think that it's the understanding better than just wanting to know what is said, what it called.
And that's why, as I understand, the development of the patisambhadis, such as niruti patisambhada, actually develops right from the beginning with the development of understanding. So now if we read a sutta, it depends on the understanding of the meanings of those words, whether there's any understanding of realities or whether it's all taken for as an idea of someone who should do something and follow some practice. If it's that kind of wrong understanding, the words have been comprehended, but it's not niruti, it's not the understanding of realities.
Ajahn, how would you differentiate them between atta and niruti? How would you differentiate those two?
Who's this?
Conventionally, yes, we know it's Jonathan.
Atta. To understand.
But there is such a concept as...
What do you mean, atta, of the meaning of the word?
Well, I'm talking about... I was referring to really patisambhida, atta patisambhida. How would that be different from, say, niruti patisambhida?
What are the four? What are the fun?
Dhamma, at
dhamma is
Patibhana.
Dhamma is the cause.
Again, so.
The cause.
Yeah, Dhamma is the cause.
And Atta is the result.
Right. Atta is the result. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite clear the difference between those two. One's a cause, one's a result.
Do you know what conditions see? Do you know the conditions for seeing to arise?
Of course.
That is Dhamma.
Right, okay. And Patibhana?
To understand all the teachings.
Yes.
I think the last one includes all the others. I used to think that
this was something that was just because they talk about the arahats who had all the highly accomplished Patisambuddhas, so I thought it was something that was just for Aryan disciples, but Ajahn explained to me that actually from the beginning of understanding, there is the beginning of understanding about cause and result, and there is the understanding of the meaning of language, the understanding of realities from the beginning. So actually it develops, they develop, all develop together with the development of understanding of realities.
Until it becomes so high as the quality of the enlightened one.
So we can probably say, Ajahn, that even though there are literally millions of concepts, the most important thing is the understanding.
Certainly. And without the understanding from the very beginning as the base, how can there be the condition to become Sotapanna? And Panya conditions higher and higher states of enlightenment.
And as you were saying last week too, Ajahn, that all these concepts depend upon those ultimate realities that underpin them, that are behind them. All the, yeah.
Without Paramattha Dhamma, there's nothing.
No concepts.
Ajahn said, Dhamma is the cause, and what is the result?
Like seeing now is result, hearing is result. So cause, like karma, is a cause. So Dhamma refers to cause. So any conditions, any causes, like karma. And the second one, Atta, refers to result. So seeing is result, result. Hearing is result. Yep. And Niruti refers to the language, the understanding of the language, the understanding of the realities as represented by the language. So actually it's not really understanding language, it's understanding of realities that one reads or hears about. All the Patisambuddhas are referring to Panya, the development of Panya. Panya about the understanding of causes, understanding of results, understanding of the realities as represented by the words taught by the Buddha.
So, Ajahn, we can say then that Niruti refers to the correct understanding of the language.
And of Paramattha Dhamma.
And of, oh yes, of course, yeah.
So many people are very good in Pali but no understanding of Dhamma. It cannot be Niruti.
I'm not sure what you were saying then, Jonathan.
I was saying they're different things, the understanding of the language and the understanding of the...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. I meant that.
Yeah.
What I was trying to say was that Niruti is the correct understanding of language, which points to realities, and the application as it relates to realities, and the application of that, not just the understanding of the written word or being really good at Pali or anything.
Right.
I'm still not clear then, Ajahn, you mentioned a little bit before then, so what is Patibhana? What is that?
Of all.
That's all of them together. Mm-hmm. And that's not clear to me, but anyway.
And from one starts to accumulate to
all. It's just referring actually
to the understanding of all realities, causes, results, realities represented by language or
in their interrelationships. And
one for each.
Well, I'm not really, it's not really. Oh, yeah.
No, go on.
It really just wasn't clear to me. I mean, there are four patisambhidas, atta, dhamma, niruti, and patibhana. And Sarah's has made it a little bit clearer for me. How they develop really from the beginning, but Patibhana is still a bit obscure to me. I hear what Sarah said, but it's not clear to me.
What's the translation of that term, Patibhana?
Patibhana means literally to be able to, well, I've heard it, bhana, of course, the word to explain, so it means like an all-round understanding,
not just cause or result.
Not just
Patibhana includes
all the others. Means
it doesn't mean just one. It does mean that there is only the understanding of the cause, but there must be the understanding of the other three.
Everything that is to be understood, I suppose.
So, well, the Pali word literally means something like to explain well, something like that.
Because of understanding well.
Oh, I see.
And that's why the Buddha could teach so well, because he had that understanding and he knew what to say when.